This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
All right, here we go. As we dive back further into the show today, happy opening day to you all. I cannot wait until 2 o'clock. That's when I'll walk into the stadium. I'm excited. Cannot wait. 2:30 introductions, flares, lights, sounds, smells, all of that sort of stuff. And let the predictions begin, right? What's your number one prediction for the Royals this year?
Playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah, playoffs this year. Team-wise, make it to the playoffs this year. Go out there and advance further than you did a year ago, right? Go out and get to the ALCS. That should be kind of your next step. And they kind of learned last year what it was like to win in the regular season to get to the playoffs. They learned what it took to win in the postseason, as they did beating Baltimore and winning that first series. Now you grow a little bit more and you take that next step. And when you do have to go to Yankee Stadium in the ALDS, or they come here, you don't feel like you're overmatched. You've been there before. You've done that before. So that's kind of where I am. My number one prediction, my number one goal for this team, make it to the playoffs. Anything short of the postseason will not be considered a successful season this year. Just like I say for the Chiefs, you don't make it to the AFC Championship game / Super Bowl, it wasn't a successful season. The Royals don't make the playoffs this year, it's not a successful season.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of piggyback on that because I think my expectation this year is to win the Central, which if you win the Central, you're in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, so that's there. So I go to the Central, take care of business, obviously clean up when you play the White Sox. That's what you should do. When the Chiefs play the Raiders, win every game. Here, there, no matter where you're at. When it comes to the other teams, take care of business against Detroit, win the series, take care against Cleveland, win the opening series 2-3 and let them know that you're here and you're not messing around anymore. You're not that team in the Central. You're not that poor, poor, pitiful Royals. You have an MVP at shortstop. You have an ace at your starting pitcher. You've added Jonathan India. You've got the captain in Salvador Perez, and please praise be that Vinny Pasquantino can stay healthy. And then if one of those corner outfielders don't hack it and the guy below them is, you bring up that powerful bat. Then all of a sudden, hey, go in the Central and be that playoff team.
I think the Royals, whether it's Jack Caglione or somebody from another organization, you look at like Anaheim or whatever, teams that are out there that, you know, have bats. I would love to get Luis Robert from the White Sox here, but that's not going to happen because it's
Yankee.
A divisional trade and whatnot. So we'll see ultimately where Luis Robert ends up, because that's going to be a big trade chip. It would be a nice bat to have in this lineup. You know, they've been linked to guys throughout the years in Major League Baseball that they could potentially go and get. But I think the outfield is going to be under a big, big, big microscope, you know, like that Hubble microscope that discovered Mars. Like, that's the type of microscope that this outfield is going to be under right now, because everybody knows that they're the weakest link, if you will, on this team, right? Mm-hmm. The outfield. All three positions, as George Brett even said, need to do better. But I think the rankings kind of go MJ, Bono, and then Hunter Renfroe in that order of whose leashes are kind of the shortest. And so if MJ doesn't get off to a good start, or Bono doesn't get off to a good start, whatever the case may be, there's going to be opportunity to either bring up Cags or maybe look outside the organization. Some of these teams that a lot of people aren't giving a lot of credit to, the Angels, the White Sox, the A's, some of these other teams that are going to be kind of the bottom feeders, start to look at their rosters and see who you could potentially peel off at one of those outfield positions.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, that you look at is, you know, sometimes short leashes cause you to kind of put yourself in a reality check, like, oh, there is a guy behind me that will absolutely take away from me what I'm doing currently. And the other thing that also helps with that, that can help, is that you either are going to be a part of this team that's going to try to make a playoff push and try to get further than the ALDS, right, or you're going to be long forgotten and left on the side of the road, and the car is going to continue to go with your bags at your feet, and you're going to be not a part of this roster. I know Hunter Renfroe's contract would say that he's probably going to have a longer leash, like you had mentioned, than MJ Melendez.
Yeah.
But look, June 15th was my date. Like, if MJ hadn't figured it out and we're still going back and forth on this whole thing of, like, where's the power, where's the consistency, where's all this, and we're at June 15th, it's time to cut your ties. It's time to see what Jack Caglione has done in the minor leagues for the last 2.5 months. I get it. It'd be a super fast speed up to get him to the major leagues by then. But at what point can you only have a 1-4 in your lineup? You're going to have Michael Massey be decent, which I think he had a great spring. What is Michael Garcia going to do this year? Obviously, George Brett was telling us earlier, you'll hear that in a little bit, talking about Michael Garcia, about how he likes him a lot, how he talks to him a lot, wants to see him produce. Last year was a down year for Michael Garcia. Mm-hmm. I'll give him the excuse. Come back this year and be that guy at third base, be the cornerstone of that infield, and make sure that you've got a decent to above average bat, and that gives you some sort of ray of light after that top five, because it goes India, Bobby, Vinny, Sal, Massey, and then it's your corner outfielders and your center fielder and Kyle Isbell.
Keep an eye on Taylor Ward with the Angels. I kind of threw that out there, you know, earlier about the Angels being a spot. Taylor Ward has been kind of linked to the Royals for the last, I don't know, umpteen years, it feels like. That could be a name if the Angels don't perform. That could be a guy that they target and they could potentially go after.
Yeah.
So that could be somebody that can boost your lineup a little bit. And we'll see where they go. But that outfield is going to be under, like I said, the biggest of microscopes this year. And not just by the organization. I think all the fans now that we have expectations, we're going to be getting that Daniel Sorensen role and that Omar Infante role, where we're looking at the weakest link. We're like, that guy's got to be replaced. This guy needs to be better. I think if we're looking at one of those three guys, it's probably either going to be Bono in center or MJ out there in left field.
I think the other thing about this year is the fact that you have Bobby Witt Jr., right? We talked about it earlier. Somebody said his odds have already gone up in the MVP race. They said he got it 380 now at DraftKings. Somebody's already putting some cheddar on that as well. Go be the MVP.
Yeah.
Win the award, because everything that we've talked about falls in suit to where this season could go. If you win your division, it's probably because Bobby Witt Jr. was the best player in the American League. You win your division, you make the playoffs. You get into the playoffs, you probably had some other help around Bobby Witt Jr. Because we talk about Aaron Judge, right? Mm-hmm. Soto's not there to hit behind him anymore. Or maybe he hit in front of him. Hit in front, hit in behind. Now it's Cody Bellinger and Austin Wells. Like, that's who's around Aaron
Austin
Judge.
Austin Wells is your leadoff hitter that's in New right. York. First catcher in the history of the Yankees to lead off a game. Looks just like Dusty.
That's what Bob thinks.
Yeah, he does.
Right?
Yeah, he does have that look.
Yeah, he looks like Dusty.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's really to have your catcher lead. Who is another catcher that has led off? Help me out.
I was trying to think. Maybe Paul Laduca.
Pudge? Did Pudge ever lead off?
I don't know, man. I want to say maybe Jason Veritek, but I don't know that to be true. Maybe Paul Laduca back in the day for the Dodgers. Definitely wasn't Charles Johnson for the Devil Rays back in the day or the Marlins.
Now, my buddy coached him in college, Charles
really?
Johnson.
Nice. Yeah. He has some raw power. But I don't know, man. Normally catchers don't, because, you know, the ideal is that the catchers are the fat guy. Or the,
right,
you know,
exactly.
At least it used to be
and
that way.
I noticed where you're kind of going with athletic-looking catchers, right? Because Charles Johnson was a brick you-know-what, man.
Yeah, because I know that a lot of people have, a lot of times back in the 90s, catchers would hit second.
Second.
Right.
Yes. Has anybody ever led off at the catcher position?
Man, I don't know.
Reddit's got a big list of every catcher. That's the last time a catcher's let off for every team, and it shows their stuff. So there's a list there.
Does it have a list of who the Royals' last catcher was to lead
in
off?
N.A. for Royals. So they're saying
Mike Sweeney.
Maybe one day he played catcher, if it's N.A., then the Royals have never had a catcher lead off.
Yeah, Blue Jays, Diamondbacks, Giants, Royals, Rockies, Rays, and Yankees.
Yeah, and the Yankees.
The Reds and Yankees.
Reds and Yankees. And the Yankees bucked that trend today with Austin Wells leading off. That's very rare thing to happen in sports. I love it. Anything that's rare that happens in baseball to move this thing forward is good. Real quick, the odds are out for the first manager to get fired this year.
Is it the guy in Chicago?
No, he's way down. Brand new this year. Will Venable, new guy. Number two on the list is Rocco Baldelli of the Twins. I told you, watch the Minnesota Twins. Watch that dynamic.
Who's number one?
Where's Boone?
John Schneider.
Well, Boone just got signed.
Blue Jays manager's number one.
Oh, that's fair.
2-1.
God, they just fired their other manager.
It feels like it, right?
2 years ago.
Oliver Marmol from the Cardinals, 4-1.
I could see that.
Bud Black of the Rockies, Derek Shelton, Dave Martinez of the Nationals.
Okay.
Boone is 25-1. Q's in the middle of the pack, about 50-1.
That's not happening.
No, of course not. Yeah.
So love that.
Last manager, best odds, highest odds? Don't think
Dave
too
Roberts.
Hard.
Yeah. Dave Roberts.
Dang. 200-1.
Yeah. Well, number one in the Royals franchise, George Brett, number five for the number, retired. You'll see it out there today when you go out there. He joined us earlier today. We revamped that interview for you. George Brett on the show coming up next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
I want to get into something before we get into the George Brett interview that we played earlier. We had George on earlier. We talked about the story of the day where the kid yesterday at the practice got the Bobby Wood Jr. baseball bat. How about this? I was the one with the kid in the video where Bobby gave the bat to us yesterday. Amazing experience. Our kids haven't stopped talking about Witt and the Royals since.
Win.
Right?
That's a win for everybody.
I said, okay, that's cool. We'd love to get your story. You know, have your kid call in. Let us know. Let's talk about it. Gave him the number. Gave my name. He said, kid just got on the bus. They're all in kindergarten. The kid who got the bat's name is Kai. So shout out, Kai.
Way to go, Kai.
And he says he does not plan on selling the bat. LOL.
Aww.
That is a true LOL. So shout out to Kai getting that bat. Happy for you, man. That'll be the greatest thing you ever have in your life.
That's awesome.
I still have Cal Ripken's autograph in a book that I've never gotten rid of. It sits on my TV stand in my room. It has never moved from that position. It will never move from that position. It is unsellable to me because of the moment that I felt at the age of 9 years old, and still I can smell that Sharpie fresh on the book. Cal Ripken Jr.
That's awesome.
One of the best days of my life.
I love the fact that kid got the bat, man. That is so
that's
cool.
A bat,
that's
dude.
A bat.
Like,
yeah,
that's not like a glove, which
right.
is cool.
Cool.
An armband that I once got from Carlos Beltran that was soaked in sweat. I smelled it too, for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, stuff like that. That's a bat, man.
Danny
like,
Duffy gave me his cleats one time to auction off. That was pretty cool.
I wish he would have given me his flip-flops.
Ugh.
He once walked all the way from downtown
all the way
to the
from,
stadium.
I mean, could you imagine the stench of
just Duffy, baby, bury me a Royal, you know?
I love Danny Duffy with all my heart.
This is George Brett. Earlier today, he joined us here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
So how excited are you, man? Like, I got kind of the vibe last week being down there for a little bit and seeing the boys in blue and a little spring action. Like, everybody's ready to go. Everybody's feeling good. Like, the expectations high. How are you feeling?
I have very high expectations, a lot more than last year. The last 2 years ago, they won 56 games, and there wasn't a lot of expectation. They ended up winning 30 more games, and now everybody's expecting that to happen. Well, guess what? They're good enough to win that in a tough division. And, you know, it's a tough league. You play everybody. So it's going to be tough to go out there. Excuse me, I'm just getting up. I'm making my coffee.
Oh, I thought that was a beer getting poured into a glass mug.
No. And, no, it's going to be tough, but they're good. They're good. Other teams are good, too. They're going to have to play well to win. It's not going to be a walk in the park, but I was very, very impressed with everybody all spring.
George, I want to ask you something because we talked about it earlier with Bobby Witt Jr. I think my expectations every year now, and I don't think it's high expectations. It's kind of the same thing with Mahomes, and maybe you had this as well when you were going through your career and you hit that sort of superstar status. But, like, I think every year Bobby Witt Jr. should be an MVP candidate, one, two, or three, whether it's, you know, in the top three or top two or he's number one. But I think we see the undoubted, no questions asked, an MVP's type of season for Bobby Witt Jr., who did exceptional last year, and we get into another year of Bobby Witt Jr. What say Mr. Brett?
Well, I'm going to expect the same thing. I mean, I remember the first year I hit 300. My first full year in the – well, second full year in the major leagues, I hit 300, and Hal McCray came up and said, "Oh man, you're screwed now." And I go, "What do you mean I'm screwed?" He says, "The Royals are going to expect you, and everybody's going to expect you to hit 300." And I said, "Hal, I'm going to expect it too. I've proven to myself I can, so I'm going to expect it myself." Bobby Witt's year last year was one of, oh my God, one of few ever done in the major leagues for a kid that age. And, you know, I'm sure Bobby has high expectations, and we all do of him. That's why the Royals gave him that contract. But he's the type of guy that can handle it. I really do. And they were talking about some letter he wrote and some website or something. I've never heard of it. They forwarded it to me. I'm going to read it, about how he was meant to play baseball and stuff, which I really believe he was. He's such a natural. He was meant to be in Kansas City. I think that's a natural, too. Hopefully he lasts his whole contract here and plays 20 years here like I did. All my records will be thrown down the window, but it's not bad to come in second to someone like that. But he also said that he tried too hard against the Yankees last year. That's what they were saying. Well, that happens in certain situations, and he's going to learn from that. It's going to make him a better player.
Yeah, You've always mentioned that, George, the case of the try too hards. And when you go out there and you try too hard, you don't. You know, you just kind of fail
at that. You try easier.
Yeah, you try easier
because you try too hard, you put too much tension in your hands and too much tension in your body, and then your swing's not as fluid. So you got to try easier to release all that tension. And yeah, it's like anything. First time I played in Yankee Stadium, I was scared to death. You know, get 56,000 people and they're not friendly to you, and they kind of make you wonder about your abilities because they're yelling such obscenities at you, and chants and stuff, which they did to him. Mm-hmm. The same thing they did to me. And then finally, I just took it as a compliment because they're not doing it to the guy hitting ninth; they're doing it to me. So I took that as a compliment, and I think Bobby's going to learn a lot from that. That's going to make him a better player.
Yeah, so what do you tell him if you do have these conversations with him about, okay, that was a great year last year, you have now that expectation. Like, how do you deal with that expectation? Or is he a kid where you don't even have to have those conversations with?
Well, I'm going to go down. I have this conversation with Mikel Garcia. He and I have really developed a special friendship. And every day I see Mikel, I walk up to him, I introduce myself. I say, "Hi, I'm George Brett." And he says, "Hi, I'm Mikel Garcia." And I said, "Do me a favor, be the best player Mikel Garcia could be. Don't try to be anybody else." And I'm going to tell that to Bobby Witt today. I'm going to tell him, be the best player you can be. Don't try to do things you're not capable of. And just go out and play baseball. Have fun and play baseball. That's all you got to do, and you'll be successful.
George, he's not on the roster yet, but I know the future is bright for the young kid named Jack Caglione. So I want to bring this up. I'm sure you had a conversation with him this spring. What did he do for you, like, with your eyeballs when you see that specimen of a 6'5", 250-pound kid, 22 years old, all the power, the story of this spring? Did you have a conversation with him? And if so, how did that go?
I had many conversations with him. I sat with him in the dugout a lot of games and watched him take swings in the cages, watched him take swings on the field and batting practice, watched him play first base. But I'll just tell you a little story of something I noticed about him, which will tell you a little bit about him, okay? When guys are sitting in the dugout, you know, nowadays we used to just sit in the dugout. That's all there was just a long bench kind of, and you'd sit there and watch the game. Nowadays they have railings, and everybody sits on the railing, and some guys go down and sit on the bench. When Jack Caglione came up, everybody in our dugout was on the railing. When Jack Caglione came up, everybody in the other dugout was on the railing. There weren't guys sitting in the back below, you know, playing grab ass or whatever they do in the dugout, looking at their iPads, looking at their at-bats or something. Everybody was on the top step because they didn't want to miss his swing. And it that showed me something for a kid that's never played in the big leagues to have that much fanfare and that much awe about him. It kind of reminds me a little bit about the Bo Jackson. When Bo Jackson was hitting, nobody went to the bathroom. Nobody went to get some popcorn. Nobody went up there to get that Coors Light that you guys are talking about at 7 in the morning. Everybody wanted to wait for Bo to hit. And it's funny, when Bo, after Bo hit, you would see masses of people getting up out of their seats to go to the bathroom because nobody wanted to see them. Jack Caglione reminds me of that.
So what constitutes a good game of grab ass? We hear that all the time.
I don't know what it is, but they're just down there screwing around, throwing seeds at each other, you know, whatever they're doing down there,
right,
talking, figuring out where they're going to go have dinner tonight, and or, you know, telling people about the dinner they had last night or whatever.
So but, you were with Gene Watson in spring training then?
Well, they're just not paying attention to the game. But when Jack came up, everybody paid attention to the game.
Yeah, we saw him on Saturday get it. I think it was Saturday, get in at bat. May have been Friday, get in at bat. And he got rung up for the pitch clock violation. And everybody in the crowd booed the umpire because everybody just wanted to see this kid hit.
Yes, that's true. It's true. It's amazing. It's spring training games. You know, if he didn't start a game, he would come in the fifth or the sixth, and people leave in the seventh or eighth. But if Jack Caglione was scheduled to bat in the eighth or ninth inning, people stayed in their seat. They would fight the traffic. The traffic was worth waiting in, leaving a game in surprise to see Jack Caglione hit in the bottom of the ninth if we were losing.
No doubt.
Speaking of that, do you believe he'll make it on this roster this year, or do you think it is another year until we see the superstar here in Kansas City?
I think if he goes out and he's productive, they'll find a place for him.
Right.
That's my opinion. I don't know if it's JJ's opinion. I don't know if it's John Sherman's opinion. I don't know if that's Matt Quatero's opinion. But I think if he goes out there and he's productive and they think if everybody that's going to make that decision believes he can help this team win games in the big leagues, they'll bring him up.
What did you see, though, out of him? Do you think he's ready to go? Do you think he needs some more time?
Well, yeah, you're going to have to go down there and play a little bit, but yeah. How long will that be? If he gets off to a great start, I'd bring him right up. I think they're putting him in the outfield. That was a talk during spring training. Once he got sent down, they were going to put him in the outfield. He did play outfield all through high school, so he's got an understanding of how the game's played. He wanted to be an outfielder in college, but you know, when he was pitching once a week, they didn't throw him 98 miles an hour. They wanted him to save his arm, and they put him at first base. He's an excellent first baseman, too. So they're going to put him in the outfield, from my understanding. And, you know, obviously our outfield needs a little help from last year. Hopefully these guys have a better offensive season than they did last year, all three of them. But if he's productive and he can handle the outfield situation, yeah, I wouldn't be afraid to bring him up at all.
George, what do you?
But I don't make those decisions. That's something that somebody else does. But I
wish
give my input, and they can do with it what they want. And if we're struggling in the outfield again this year, and he's off to a good start, I'll go up to JJ one day, sitting with him, and I'll say, "Hey, why don't we bring him up?
Yeah,
why not?"
Exactly.
Why
like, not? What'd you think of MJ down there at spring training?
I liked his approach a little bit better. He got rid of the big high kick. He's got his hands in a better position to start a swing. Every once in a while, it's really, really good. And then every once in a while, once it goes back to that last year swing. And I've had conversations with him telling him that, hey, if I was you, I would just take my top hand off all the time. And he's just a hard guy to get through to. And, you know, hopefully his way works. It didn't work last year, in my opinion, and it worked some in spring training this year. He still strikes out a lot, but when he hits the ball, he hits it awfully hard. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no
doubt.
He's
a strong kid. He's a real strong kid. We just got to cut down those strikeouts. That's all we got to do.
I love Jonathan India, George, at the top of the lineup. Like, that may be my new favorite player.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He did everything we could have asked for in the trade, and giving up Brady Singer was tough, I'm sure, for the Royals. But to get a guy, when I talked to him, I have a deal. I would say, how many home runs did you hit? And he said, last year I hit 14, George. And I said, okay, out of those 14, how many did you try to hit? And he said, none. I said, okay, let me ask you another question. How many times did you try to hit a home run? He said, none. I said, wow, you don't hear that from many people. Normally, when a guy hits 14 home runs, I'll ask him, How many home runs did you hit last year? 14. How many of those did you try to hit? None. How many times did you try to hit a home run? 100. So you're 0 for 100 trying, 14 for 14 not trying. Why do we try to hit home runs? And he was the complete opposite. He's the only player I've ever, ever asked that question to and came back, and that was the answer I got. So he knows himself, and you know, he knows he's a good player. He can play third. He can play second. He played a little left field this year in spring training. He's going to play. He'll play. But we just kind of find a place, because Massey had a great spring too. And Mikel Garcia played center field. He played left field. So I don't know what the lineup's going to be today. I don't know if they posted it. But it sure is going to be fun to see him hitting leadoff. I think he hit 360 in spring training. He walked a lot, hit some home runs, and just a good, good guy to have in front of Bobby Witt. He's a real good guy. We'll have some guys on base. We'll have his on-base percentage last year was, I don't know what it was, but it was a lot better than our on-base percentage guy last year. And it's be fun to see Bobby Witt hit with somebody on him the first inning this year.
George, is someone like you that just like loved the game, became the game, and it just became life. Like, I assume that opening day is very special for somebody that is, you know, a baseball player in the big leagues. Like, what did opening day mean to you, and what kind of like going through, like, do you have a memory, or is there a moment on an opening day that just always sticks in the back of your head?
Well, it's the grind starts today. It starts 162 games, and you just want to stay as healthy as you possibly can. That's something that I had trouble doing. I had numerous knee injuries and shoulder injuries that kept me out 6 to 8 weeks at a time. But the favorite memory, I think, would probably have to be 1986 when we took the field at home here in Kansas City, and we got our World Series rings from the 85 season. That's something that, you know, you play 21 years in the big leagues, I think I had 19 opening days because I didn't start, 20 opening days. They all run together. There's no real special moment that you, not one special game, nothing really stands out. But I'll tell you what, that 1986 was something special.
Yeah, 40 years now we're celebrating that. 10 years already celebrating 2015. Can you believe how fast those last 10 years have gone?
Well, the last 10 years, I mean, that went fast.
Yep.
But man, 40 years ago, that seems like a long, long time ago. I mean, 40 years ago, I'm 71. So 40 years ago, I was 31 years old. So it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
All right. I want to leave you with this. You're in Cooperstown. Salvi's getting close. What more does he need to do to solidify his spot in Cooperstown?
I think if Salvi can play two more years and have 2 years very similar to what he did last year, he'll be a lock. I really do. I mean, he is something for, I don't even know how old Salvi is. What is he, 36?
I have no idea.
I have no idea how old he is, you know, but I think he's like 36. But if he could play two more years, I
34.
Mean, you put up his career numbers against other catchers in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's right there. He's right there. So wouldn't it be great to have another guy that played his whole career in Kansas City be a member of the greatest fraternity of all time? You know, it would be unbelievable.
Be cool. It'd be really cool. 34 is what Max says. He's 34 years
34?
Old.
34? Okay, yeah. He's got some good years ahead of him. He's got some good years ahead of him. So,
well,
hopefully he makes it.
Enjoy the game, George. Enjoy the season, and we'll catch up again soon.
Get those mountains blue, George.
I got some in the refrigerator, though. I know the blue.
There you go.
Too early in the morning for me, fellas.
No doubt about it. Well, thanks for the time, George. We appreciate it.
Okay, we'll see you.
Over under 0.5 Coors Lights that have been taken down now that it is 9:33 in the morning.
I'm still going to say the under. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say the under.
Okay.
Later on this afternoon, maybe at the ballpark, it's a different conversation. But as of now, yeah, I'm going to take the under. I'm going to say zero still for George.
Speaking of at the ballpark, the brand new 96.5 The Fan banner is up there by the press box.
Nice. I didn't see it yesterday.
They showed the unveiling of it. They took the 610 one down, and 96.5 The Fan is there now.
Oh, good.
You can also see a 96.5 The Fan tent and table out there, which is where Cody and Go will be at Gate D. They'll have Cole Reagans at 10:30. They'll have the general manager, J.J. Piccolo, at 11:45. Voice of the Royals as well as Denny Matthews, but Ryan LaFever at 11:15, Vernier at 1 o'clock, and Brian Kenny at 12:30. So should be a loaded show from 10 to 2 as well as it has been from 6 until the end of this one at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we have do we have a little bit of time to get into the one words that maybe we missed?
Or yeah,
do we
have, because there's some really good stuff going on. I know baseball is today and the tournament is today, but anytime you get Stephen A. Smith and LeBron James talking about throwing down with
LeBron
each other, where do I sign up for this?
Yesterday.
I mean the actual boxing match, because that will outrate any basketball game that they put on. And Dusty, say what you said on the air to me off the air, because I want to catch Mac Daddy's reaction to this one.
Yeah. You want me to say it now?
Yeah, say it now.
I think the two biggest names in basketball are LeBron James and Stephen A. Smith.
Wow. Well, I think there's a guy that can shoot the three-pointer for Buffalo that's really good.
I know you sounded like that. No,
I mean, Steph Curry would come to mind above Stephen A. Smith.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
He
just doesn't talk a lot. Like, Stephen A. makes the game relevant for a lot of people. And when you listen to Stephen A. Smith,
I don't hate it.
He's talking about the NBA.
I mean, I do hate it that it's true, but I think you're right.
And also, how much of this is to get people to get involved in the NBA? Like,
I don't think that.
To which Dusty goes, I've been working with you too long. But no, it's true. Like, nobody's paying attention to that garbage. But you get Stephen A. Smith and LeBron James talking smack, ready to fight each other.
Like,
I'm paying attention. The NBA is in my backyard. I'm closing the blinds. I've said that.
And the reason I say this is because, like, do we really think, really, gun to your head, that Stephen A. Smith would ever throw hands to LeBron?
Oh, hell no. He'd be destroyed.
Right. So he says that because that gravitates towards the situation. And then all of a sudden now in the NBA, we're all about watching this story with opening day in baseball. March Madness numbers were up a big time, or better right now than the NBA.
Best numbers they've had since 93.
We're in the drought right now, the NBA. That's fair. We're waiting to get
I don't think it's fair to compare it to March Madness, but I agree. It's the drought.
Yeah. I'm just going ratings-wise. Yeah,
what's going on right now? Nobody's talking about the NBA. In a minute, after all this kind of dust settles with LeBron and Stephen A. Smith, if it ever does, Aaron Rodgers is going to raise his hand here in a second, because he doesn't feel like he's part of this party today on.
Ian Rappaport puts his hands on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is going to blow some sativa in his face.
I'll tell you, we've got a situation today where we're talking about the NCAA tournament having great ratings, Major League Baseball opening day, maybe the most exciting opening day we've experienced in all of baseball in a generation, with all the great talent that's out there and where the game is at this point in time. You've got Russell Wilson signing with the Giants, and now the biggest story in the NBA is LeBron James and Stephen A. Smith, to which Stephen A. responded again this morning saying, I never said why you weren't at Dwayne Wade, or why you weren't at Kobe Bryant's memorial, and why you didn't show up at the Dwayne Wade's Hall of Fame induction when he's the guy responsible for getting you a ring. So it's not stopping.
No, it's not even close to stopping.
It is not stopping.
No, if you think if you're saying that some of what Stephen A. Smith is fabricated for ratings, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James, no.
No, I think he's real.
No, I think he's real. Like, when he went and confronted Stephen A. that night, like, that was legit.
Yeah.
That was Father LeBron James being pissed off.
And captain of his team. Like, he was going there to talk to him. What we heard now from Pat McAfee's show is that he was going there to talk about, hey, you don't disrespect my brotherhood of my team, and you're also not going to talk about my family, which, by the way, Bronny James the other night, 39 points in the G League.
Yeah,
maybe we forget that he's 20 years old playing against, or 21 years old, playing against other guys that are, like, mid-20s or early 30s, and he's the youngest player in the G League. Is he not?
But also, the way it all happened and the nepotism involved, obviously, people are going to be bent and bitter, towards all of that. And that's kind of just, what happens in all of this. But, like, LeBron going on McAfee yesterday was great. I mean, it was fantastic.
And he did that because Matt told me, because, hey, here's an F you to Stephen A. I'm going to go on your competitor and your own station
network
and give him the time and not you.
Yeah, exactly. And it was awesome.
90 seconds audio, LeBron on Pat McAfee.
They went viral. You would be. Talk about it.
Are you kidding me? If there's one person that couldn't wait to the video to drop so you could address it, it's your ass. Like, seriously,
of course.
It's, and like another, he completely like missed the whole point. The whole point. Never would I ever not allow people to talk about the sport, criticize players about what they do on the court. That is your job to criticize, or to be in a position where, okay, if a guy's not performing, that is all part of the game. That's all part of the game. But when you take it and you get personal with it, it's my job to not only protect my damn household, but protect the players. And I think a lot of the media, including him, and I know he's gonna be happy as hell. He's going to be smiling from ear to ear when he hears me talking about him again. Oh, my God. He's going to get home and grab some ice cream out of the freezer and sit in his chair in his tidy whiteys on the couch.
See, if Stephen A. was smart, he'd have come out today in tidy whiteys and ice cream.
That would be awesome.
I mean, if he sat on that set in tidy whiteys and ice cream, like, that's what I would have done if Stephen A., or if I was Stephen A., put those tidy whiteys on, man.
Absolutely.
What ice cream would you choose?
I'd choose coffee ice cream. I like
would have
chose
Rocky Road because the road is getting rocky between Stephen and LeBron.
I like it.
But here's the thing, too, with LeBron. I mean, there is some narcissism involved in this as well. If you really didn't want anybody to know about this, do it behind closed doors.
Well, you can't go in tunnels anymore because people record.
That's right. People are recording. But you could have figured out a way. Hey, you know, you could have got a word to somebody. They meet me here. I want to talk after the game and done that in private. LeBron knew exactly what he was doing. That's why when you said this is kind of a conspiracy, yes, it is. This is what's driving conversation in the NBA right now.
I love it. I'm here for
it. I am too. I'm here all day for this.
Because I consider it Reggie Miller, Spike Lee, round two. 2.0 Spike Lee and Reggie Miller.
That made people watch, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I was ready to see Reggie Miller throw up the choke sign. I was ready for Spike Lee to get on the court and give him some business.
That made people watch, and that was a great playoffs that year. I think this year's going to be a fantastic playoffs.
Cannot wait.
Respect the text.
I want to get to this because somebody looks like they sound just like me on the text line. It says, damn, I'm walking around with three legs now after hearing George talk about Jack Caglione.
Welcome to my side.
How about George talking about MJ Melendez, too?
Oh, well, that doesn't give you three legs.
I have to say, don't unpack.
A little bit of shrinkage. Coming up on the other side, we wrap this show up and get you ready for opening day because we got to get out of here and get to our seats. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
FanDuel is giving all customers the chance to take a swing at $500,000 in bonus bets every day from March 27th to the 30th, this Thursday through Sunday. It's all part of the $500,000 daily home run jackpot. All you have to do is use your jackpot profit boost on a player to homer. And if they go yard, not only will you get bigger winnings on your home run bet, but you'll also get a share of that daily $500,000 jackpot. This season on FanDuel, big wins are on deck. So just head to FanDuel.com/Alex and look for the daily home run jackpot. Make every moment more with FanDuel, your home for betting home runs and an official partner of 96.5 The Fan. 21 and present in Kansas. Opt-in required. Must apply profit boost token on select market. Price pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct pick. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restricted supply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Getting help is your best bet. Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com.
Want to be baseball with the Royals. If you want to be
having a great time. Loving the fun.
You want to see all of the excitement. This is the place and we're the one. You want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see. Come on out and join us. This is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to see
the best of the big leagues,
you want to be
loving the day. Come share the excitement of the stolen base and turn the whole place.
This is where it happens. Come on and see.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Of all the songs, that is the best one.
Never gets old. Never gets old. I just think of guys with mustache and big chief and just the smell of pine tar in the air. Oh,
I just love when he, come on.
Yeah, come on and sing.
You could see them recording that video, too, back in like the 80s or 70s, whatever, that, come on!
The hand
in the air and everything. Like, awesome. Everybody's doing it. Like, 14 and 15 people would beg for that song because it was so good, and it is a great song.
Yeah.
And it's nostalgia, and people like it, and it's a good song. It still rings true today, 40-some years later, right? Better than that damn Fogerty crap.
Put me in, coach, man. I'm ready to go. Put me in my seat and give me a beer. I'm ready to go, baby. I'm ready for opening day, boys. I cannot wait.
162-0 train starts. starts today. Choo choo.
Big T and Shawnee, he was texting in earlier. He's ready. He's all up. Terry in Green Bay, she's glad to have you guys back. She's ready for baseball season.
Heck yeah.
Somebody says they love that song. They end up singing it randomly. From the 913, 16th straight opening day with my daughters, who are now 23 and 25. Obviously, minus 2020, they didn't go.
Oh, that's cool.
This is number 9 in a row for me.
Yeah, 2020 is a pass. Like, we were talking about that the other day. That it doesn't count. You weren't cardboard. You didn't go. you didn't want to risk your life like Blake Snell and all those guys. Jamie Quirk texted me earlier. I hope I'm not outing him or anything.
He's got a really
like
good
that.
Cocktail named after him.
The Quirk, yeah, absolutely.
I'll have
does.
A Jamie?
Yeah, I'll have the Quirk. Yeah. One of the best dudes on planet Earth. Love you, Jamie. He says, I'm taking my grandkids today to the game. I'm like, boy, have the times have changed, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember where the kids were going to the game, and now the grandkids are going to the game. So, I mean, that's how back we go, and you're the generations and the families, and that's why baseball is the best when it comes to kind of being that family sport with your dad, with your mom, with your sister, your brother. Like, it is a family sport, and people always have those memories of, you know, of baseball and moments. I mean, I met my wife at the ballpark. I mean, that's just kind of, you know, our thing. And so it'll be fun to be out there again today for opening day, and even more fun going into the season feeling good.
Does somebody propose today on the big screen?
Ooh.
Is that a prop bet you want to throw down?
I'm going to say no, because it's opening day. There may not be enough time for that today, unless you know something. You know somebody's proposing?
No, I'm not proposing.
Mac, are you?
No,
speaking
already done
of baseball being back, that means baseball parlays are back. I'll give you mine. Mac will Let's give go. You his. I have a four-leg parlay on DraftKings that sits at plus 900.
Okay.
I have Cole Reagans to get six or more strikeouts. Mm. I have Tanner Bibee getting six or more strikeouts.
Oh, you got a 30-minute game.
Mm-hmm. I have our guy Jonathan India getting a hit.
Let's go.
And I have under 0.5 runs in the first inning. I think anybody scores. I hope both pitchers go two strikeouts each in the first inning, and then we get on with our ways, and everybody lets the dust settle, and the opening day surprise goes. So plus 900, Reagans and Bibee to get six or more Ks, India, Bob's guy, to get a hit in this game, and then no runs in the first inning.
Man, if the Royals start out with a India hit in the first inning, no runs the first, boom, two off the bat of those legs.
I'd like
four.
That hit to come around the fourth inning.
Yeah,
that
would
give you a two-run shot. Yes. Bring in Ursig in the fifth and close it out.
Bring Ursig in the fifth.
Sounds nice.
Somebody says Dusty's going to propose to Cags on opening day.
He's not going to be here. Otherwise, he may.
He would. I've got a four-legger as well, plus 1,200. Royals money line. Bobby, two hits. Reagans, over 5.5 strikeouts. And I got the under of the total, 7.5 runs.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. I like that one a lot. I think Bobby's good for two.
That's a good underdog bet, the under of 7.5 total runs.
Yeah, you can take that. I mean, like
this
that.
Game's 4-4, then both pitchers ain't making it to the fifth.
Well, that's the thing. If this game ends up being, you know, over 7.5, something really went wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't like that for either team, because Bibee's legit. He just signed that big contract. Obviously, Reagans is legit. Mm-hmm. Top five bullpen, Vern said. Where are they going to score those runs? You know, so I think the under 7.5 is legit. I think Bobby two hits is legit. And I do like the six strikeouts apiece for Reagans and Bibee, because we do strike out a lot in baseball now.
Well, I mean, you can.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go ahead and chalk up at least 4 in the 6, 7, 8, 9 guys for the Royals.
4 apiece?
No, 4 total.
4 total.
So, I mean, then you just got to find 2 more along the way.
No, that makes sense. That's a good way to think about it.
He throws a slider outside to Sal. God, you know Sal can't lay off that slider outside. Yeah, well.
Yeah, his strike zone has gotten a lot better over
It doesn't
the years,
matter to me.
Know?
He's but, Salvador Perez.
Right, that's the percept. That's what's great about
his
sports,
greatest hit
right?
was a ball 14 feet outside the plate. So, I mean, you know, do whatever you want to say about that.
Yeah,
so.
He doesn't care. But no, I think you're in for a really good, entertaining game today, too. There's so much. Once you get past all the bunting and the flags and the hoopla at the beginning of the game, which I know everybody loves, that used to be why we went to opening day and then you left, right? Because, well, the team wasn't going to be any good. But now, I mean, we're watching two Cy Young candidates toe the slab today on both sides, is freaking cool. There's so many good pitching matchups in baseball today. And then you've got, obviously, Jonathan India, who I can't wait to watch play this season. And I've been telling you about him now for the better part of 6 weeks. I'm so excited about him in the lineup. And I don't know if this is a negative kind of approach. I'm very interested in what this outfield does, man. Like, I'm going to be watching those guys, and I know we're all going to be on the edge of our seats every single at bat for a guy like MJ or Bono or Renfro or whatever the case may be in the outfield going, are they going to struggle? Are we going to bring up Cags? Like, everybody's waiting for that fall off the cliff moment for at least one of the outfielders, I think, from a fan base perspective. But you know what? I hope they all play great. I hope we don't need to talk about Cags coming up and being part of this thing in the outfield because everybody's doing what they're supposed to. But I don't know, man. I'm just I got my antennas up for MJ.
You want to feel really great?
The pitch, swinging a ground ball to third is fair. Fair ball up the left field line. Here's Colon, and the Royals win it.
One more time.
The pitch, swinging a ground ball to third is fair. Fair ball up the left field line. Here's Cologne, and the Royals win it.
That's right. 2014 wildcard moment. Salvador Perez swung at a ball 15 feet outside the zone down the left field side. Sorry, Donaldson, geek.
And I will say that is the greatest radio call in Kansas City sports history. And I know the Chiefs have had a lot, and that's no knock on that. That was the first. It's hard to beat the first, right? No matter what. That's why I say 14 was better than 15 because it was our first. And then it led to 15, and then 15 led to the Chiefs, and here we sit, and we're back again. That play right there, man, I think if you were to ask sports fans in Kansas City what call they want to hear the most, that one all the time. And people will always text in or tweet in or whatever and say, I got tears, I got chills. I mean, it's still 11 years later, almost, you know, over a decade later, and people still get excited about that call from Ryan.
No doubt about it. We had other calls today that we remember. This one was from Denny Matthews because we all remember this because at least I do because I love it.
Beltran at the plate with a count, two balls, two strikes. And Damaso Marte brings it home. High drive, left center and deep. Back goes Lee to the wall. Gone. The Royals win it.
But wait, there's more.
So the Royals hitters here in this inning really making the White Sox pitchers throw strikes, and they haven't done it. And there's a high fly ball, deep center field. Back goes Rowan to the 410 sign. Gone, Mindy Lopez. Well, you talk about pushing the right buttons. Tony Pena pulled back stairs, send up Mindy Lopez. A 3-1 pitch hammered over the wall in deepest left center at the 410 mark to tie the game.
Let's have a moment like that today.
No doubt about it. Don't forget, don't have to push any buttons on your dial because Cole Reagan's at 10:30, J.J. Piccolo at 11:45, Ryan LaFever 11:15, Josh Verner 1 o'clock, Brian Kinney at 12:30, all on Cody and Gold. Hey, be like Bobby Witt Jr. Go do something nice for somebody you never know. You could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Go enjoy opening day, baby. Kansas City, have fun, relax, and enjoy it. Play ball!